I didn't wear red today. I'm kind of feeling a little left out.
You guys look fabulous up here.
You do.
All right. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. And we're going to sing, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. How about away in a manger? And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Hearken. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And we're going to sing that amazing song by saying, "Go tell it on the mountain." But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And that causes us to sing "Joy to the World."
Now, Merry Christmas, everybody. Now, I don't listen to a lot of Christmas music before Christmas. I listen to it. My kids are like, "Dad, do we have to listen to Christmas music?" I'm like, "Yeah, today and tomorrow we have to. Before and after." You know how some people, they start at Thanksgiving, right? And we listen to Christmas music. Who is that way? Are you? You guys? Okay, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. September? Anybody for September? Mark, he plans the extravaganza. I think he's probably listening to Christmas music for next year, right now. You know, he's listening with a different ear. There was a man who worked at a post office, and it was his job to process the mail that had addresses that couldn't be found or illegible addresses. And one day, a letter came to his desk, and it had shaky handwriting, and it was addressed to God. He thought, "Well, I guess I'll open it." So he's curious. He wasn't God. And the letter said this: "Dear God, I'm a 93-year-old widow, and I'm living on a very small pension. And yesterday, someone stole my purse. It had $100 in it. And it was all the money I had until my next pension check. And next Sunday is Christmas. And I've invited two of my friends over for dinner. And without that money, I have nothing to buy food with. I have no family to turn to. You're my only hope. Can you please help me? Sincerely, Edna." The postal worker was moved. And he thought, you know what? And he passed that letter around the other postal workers. None of them were God. But what they did is they dug deep into their wallets. And they came up with a few dollars each. And they had $96. And they mailed it off to Edna from God. And they all felt like really cool about this. You know what it's like when you share. Christmas came and went, and a few days later, they get a letter back to God from the lady, Edna. And they all gathered around. Let's see what Edna had to say. And it said, "Dear God, how can I thank you for what you've done for me? Because of your gift of love, I was able to fix a glorious dinner for my friends. We had a very nice day. I told my friends what a wonderful gift you had given us. And by the way, there was $4 missing from the 100. I think it must have been those thieves at the post office. Sincerely, Edna. You know what? Things aren't always as they seem, are they? Things aren't always as they seem. We went to the movie Narnia recently, and in the movie Narnia, things aren't always as they seem also. Go ahead, Anne.
It's a beaver.
Yeah, boy.
I ain't gonna smell it, if that's what you want.
It's a talking beaver.
Lucy Pevensey.
Yes? Who was the hanky I gave to Mr.
Thomas. He got it to me just before I took it.
Is he all right?
Fervoring.
What are you doing? She's right. How do we know we can trust him?
He said he knows the form.
He's a beaver. He shouldn't be saying anything.
He's a beaver. I love that. Come here, little beaver. I ain't gonna smell it if that's what you think. You know, because things aren't always as they seem. And for Mary and Joseph on that first Christmas, things weren't as they seem with them either. I mean, think about it. When we think about Christmas, we've got gifts you think about, right? Smells. I walked into my mom's house. We have this tradition. I haven't done it yet, but my wife for the last 20 plus years has done this. Has a tradition. They go over to my mom's house. They make these great coffee cakes. Jim, can you attest to the quality of the coffee cakes? Phenomenal. And once a year, we get these great coffee cakes, and it smells just like my grandmother's house used to smell. And it smelled like her mother's house, too. And Christmas, I walked in, I'm like, Grandma and Christmas and memories, and we have all this wonderful thoughts that we connect with Christmas. And yet the first Christmas wasn't that way, was it? It wasn't very pleasant. I mean, they lived at a time where one man could stand up and make a proclamation that everybody has to move. Everybody has to go to a different city. And whole nations of people would be on the move. If you know how big the Roman Empire was, one man, Caesar, made this decision and everybody had to be on the move, including very pregnant women. You know, you'd think that there would be some kind of out, but there wasn't. And you know why they moved? Some of you guys know. Taxes. I mean, what a stinking reason to have to move. Anybody like taxes? And he taxed them a lot. And so because of taxes, everybody had to get up and move. And so here Mary and Joseph are now going to Bethlehem, to the city of their heritage. And there's a picture of Caesar. I should have put him up earlier. He's a beauty. He's a beaut, isn't he? And they're going to their city of their heritage. And I was thinking that things weren't as they seemed. I mean, for us, Christmas seems good, but for them, it didn't seem very good, did it? I mean, for them, Christmas was bad news, not good news. Christmas was painful. I mean, for us, we think of Christmas and we think, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. Now notice that a child was born and a son was given, that Jesus was born. But a son couldn't have been born because the son was preexistent with the father before the foundations of the world. So you have a child that's born and a son that's given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of his increase, his government will never end. And so for us, we hear Christmas and we think this prophecy was fulfilled in Jesus. And yet for Mary and Joseph, things weren't as they saw. Because with Mary and Joseph, it seemed like bad news, didn't it? But the bad news for them turned into good news for us, doesn't it? Yeah, I'm convinced that's the business God's in. This Christmas, when you see pictures of Mary and Joseph, think about how it was bad news for them, but it turned into good news for us. I was thinking about that this week. Some people were here last week, weren't you? And you remember Jim talking about insomnia? Do you remember him talking? Some of you remember Jim speaking about not being able to sleep? You remember that? And just stressing and worrying and thinking about esoteric poems in the middle of the night? And so here, Jim couldn't sleep last week. And yet, because of that discomfort in his life, it increased the potency and the power of the message that he brought. I mean, there was discomfort, but I came to worship last week with discomfort. And because of the words that Jim shared, it brought comfort and peace to me. The early disciples knew this. The Apostle Paul knew it. He said, if we're distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation. You see, it was bad news for Jim that he couldn't sleep that night and had to think of esoteric poetry. But it was good news for us. Some of you guys don't know he quoted this. It was a great poem, Jim. But it was good news for us who were here listening to that message. And the scriptures are full of this kind of stuff. I mean, you remember Joseph with the coat? You remember the coat, Joseph? Not the Joseph that rode on the donkey with Mary? No, I'm kidding. This is Joseph with the coat. And Joseph went through all this stuff. He had brothers who were jealous of him, and they sold him into prison. And then after being sold into prison, Joseph fought off temptation and did the right thing, but he was falsely accused. I'm sorry, he was sold into slavery. Joseph fought off the temptation, was falsely accused, and placed into prison. And then all of a sudden, Joseph says, wait a minute, to his brothers later on, I was placed here for a reason. You intended to harm me, but God did it for good to accomplish what he wanted done. You see, it was bad news for Joseph to be sold as a slave. And it was bad news for Joseph to be put into prison. And yet, God turned it into good news. And I'm convinced that that's part of the Christmas story. Bad news for Joseph and Mary, but God turns it into good news. I was in a tattoo parlor this week. You're like, Doug, do you have anything to tell us? No, it wasn't me. But I was in there this week, and it was so much fun, you know, hanging out in this place for a while, because I don't think a lot of pastors frequent tattoo parlors. Do you know that? Because when I mentioned that I was a pastor, my daughter told me, she said, everybody kind of gathered around like, ooh. You know, like, we don't see them that kind in here much at all, you know. And there was this young guy there with a lot of tattoos, you know, like machine gun, and he had Hellraiser across his neck. And we're talking, and he's saying, you know, I never really believed in God or took any of that kind of stuff seriously. He said, but my father was in a coma for over 2 weeks recently. And during the coma, my aunt died. And then my father came out of the coma and said, how's the family taking it? And they're like, what? He goes, well, I talked to your aunt while I was out. And he started telling them all these things he saw. You see, it was bad for that guy to have a coma, wasn't it? And yet, this young guy who lives a life far from God, you know, that place is not God forsaken, that tattoo parlor, but it seems to be church forsaken, you know? And there's a lot of church forsaken places. And this young guy wasn't God forsaken, but he's probably forsaken by church. God had been working in his life. And it looked bad. The coma looked bad for his dad. And yet the coma actually turned out to be good. Because he goes, you know, I went to church twice. And he goes, I told him I was a pastor, gave him a card. He goes, does anybody want to come to church with me over there? I'm like, yeah, I need to go back there. What kind of tattoo do you think I should get? See, because bad news turns into good news with God. I mean, isn't this the message of the cross, right? I mean, bad news for Jesus, but good news for us. His pain is our gain. His death on the cross turned into our forgiveness. And this year, when you go through trials, or if you look back, like many of us do around this time, and things things are difficult, things are a struggle, remember that things aren't always as they seem. And God is in the business of taking bad news and turning it into good news. Many of us here can look back on times in our lives where we're like, wow, that was bad. That was bad. But now we look at it and we go, yes, but look what came out of that. Why, God used that to draw me to himself. Why, God used that to shape me. Why, look at that. God used that to strip me of my self-reliance, of my self-dependence, and broke me so I could be dependent and focused on him. Will you pray with me? Lord, this Christmas, may you be about turning bad news into good news. Thank you for the cross that was bad news for you and yet turned out to be good news for the whole world. Lord, some people here might be in some bad news situations and some bad news struggles. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that that would turn into good news because of your hand and your presence in our lives. Amen.